And in particular, the verses of the Dhammapada ask us to pay attention to words and acts that express a pure or an impure mind. So the verse what goes on, if one speaks or acts with an impure mind, suffering follows, even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. If one speaks or acts with an impure mind, suffering follows, even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. And, in the second verse, if one speaks or acts with a pure mind, happiness follows, like a shadow that never departs. So I want to look at these terms, purity and impurity. And sometimes people are very uneasy with these terms. I was giving some talks at our Buddhafield Festival the other weekend, and when I was doing some talks on these verses, and quite a few people said, a bit concerned about the terms pure and impure. You know, people uncomfortable, you know, perhaps it's to do with previous religious experience or something like that, other traditions. So let's look at these terms, pure and impure. Let's try and see the context in which the Buddha's talking, because the Buddha is talking, using these terms, pure and impure, within a very particular context. The Buddha is teaching in a context in which purity and impurity are a really big deal. And in fact, for many people in the time of the Buddha, a matter of overriding concern, purity and impurity. The Buddha was teaching in a context where ritual purity and impurity was regarded of very great importance. Even social purity and impurity was regarded as of very great importance. It's very hard for us to get hold of. It's probably a very foreign concept to us. The Buddha was teaching in an environment which was dominated by Brahmanism, dominated by the views of the priestly caste, dominated by Vedic religion, the Vedas being the ancient Indian religious tradition. He was operating in a culture where there was great emphasis on ritual purity and social purity. Purity comes about in that context through bathing in certain rivers, sacred rivers. Purity comes about by having rituals performed on your behalf by the priestly caste, various sacrificial rituals. Purity comes about through avoiding particular social groupings. Impurity can easily happen through coming into contact with various social groupings, particularly the outcasts, the untouchables, designated so by the other castes, the higher castes, the Brahmins in particular. Purity comes away through all these externals. So purity and impurity within Indian religious and social life is bound up with ritual, caste. It's bound up with a very false and unnatural hierarchy imposed on the world. So the Buddha really brought in a kind of spiritual and social, even a political revolution. I mean, his teaching is completely unprecedented in Indian religious life, and brings about this incredible shift. And what he does is to say the notion of purity and impurity has nothing to do with ritual and custom and who you mix with. It has nothing to do with that. Your actions are pure or impure according to the quality of mind with which you perform the action. Your actions are pure or impure according to the quality of mind with which you perform the action. Purity and purity are in the mind, are determined by consciousness, determined by motive, determined by volition, determined by attitude.